Good morning, my name is Keegan Rasko, and I'd like to welcome you to Life Downstream. Life Downstream is a radio show where I, a high school student, and my English teacher, Mr. Andrew Morgan, talk to people from around our community and ask them about their life experiences and how those experiences allowed them to learn outside of the classroom. And with that, I'd like to pass it on to Mr. Morgan to introduce our guest for today.
So we're here today with Anna Weber, the founder of Astoria Design Studio, a local sign painter. Anna, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
So when we were chatting before the show started, I asked you how you got into this profession. And you were telling me a little bit about growing up with a sign painter in your family. Could you tell me a little bit about your dad and what it was like, just being around this from day one?
Yeah. My dad went to a sign painting school in Chicago, the Chicago Institute of Lettering and Design. And it was a 2-year program, and he learned a lot of the traditional lettering styles and techniques of sign painting. And I grew up in Boise, Idaho. My dad had a sign shop. And so I just grew up hanging out at the sign shop. And
would he work a lot at home, and would you see him sketching all the time? And
he did. And originally, I guess he had his shop out of our garage, and so I would spend a lot of time with him when I was really small. Mm-hmm. And then they eventually moved to a building. It's always really been fascinating. It's fascinating for little kids to watch anybody paint. I feel like still I was always interested in it. Mm-hmm. And interested in what he was doing.
And so there was no, you didn't feel growing up like this kind of pressure to go into the family business. It was just, hey, this is something I'm fascinated with, and I just want to get better at it.
I never was pressured into it. Mm-hmm. And just my parents really included all three of their kids in the business, and mm-hmm. we were just there. They had to make a living and work. Yeah. And so we spent time with them.
So you gradually started to help out with the business, right, over time? I mean, what was that kind of transition like from being this little kid who is just watching your dad create stuff and paint to this person who is helping on these projects? How did that play out?
I don't remember feeling like there was a time when I wasn't helping to a time that I was helping. I think that I always thought I was capable of more than I probably was when I was a kid. I would help out just cleaning shop and organizing, and then eventually started helping doing more gold leaf and painting. And I feel like I learned a lot just from being around it. Mm-hmm.
Did, when you started to kind of help with your dad, were there times where you were able to kind of sit in on some of those client conversations and meetings where they're brainstorming on designs, or was it a lot of like, he'd already worked all that stuff out and now help me with the nuts and bolts of this, the actual painting and all of that?
I'm sure I was present when he was talking to clients, him and my mom were talking to clients, but I don't remember being there.
I'm interested in that part of the process because, my wife does graphic design, and just watching things go from this idea to the actual thing on the page, it's just so fascinating to me. And doing that collaboratively seems really hard. But
it's challenging, and I feel like it's definitely taken a little bit of time to establish ourselves here in town. We've been here for 5 years, and I feel like now we've got enough projects under our belt that we can reference those, and people will know, and they come to us because they like what we've done in town already.
So listeners might have seen Anna's work walking around downtown. She's done the signage for Carruthers, for Vintage Hardware, Albatross, Reclamation Marketplace. That's a new one that just went up. What was that process like, moving to town and then diving into this business? Because you hadn't done this like even full-time or part-time prior to moving to town, right? It was kind of more on the side, and this was the first, you know, kind of big attempt at it, right?
Yeah. I knew that I wanted to work for myself and also do something that I really love doing. Mm-hmm. And our first client was actually Vintage Hardware, Becky and Paul at Vintage Hardware. They were moving locations from the Astor building into what originally was England Marine, I believe. And they wanted to change their logo into something that really reflected that building. And so we designed something for them that they used while they were in that space. And then when they moved onto Marine Drive, they changed their logo again. And we helped them figure out a new logo for that reflected that space, mm-hmm. which they use now.
So are there a lot of clients that kind of follow that trajectory where they'll, you know, call you up and say, hey, we want to tweak this, we want to add this new thing, we want to, you know, you can have repeat clients even in this sort of signage business. I just assume like, oh, they have their sign, they're good, and now you got to move to the next one. Like,
I don't think we've we haven't done a lot of that, but I also don't know if any of the other businesses have moved as much as Vintage Hardware.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But they were really great to work with.
Cool. I'm curious what it is about signage that is so interesting to you. I think it's really interesting, but what are you drawn to in terms of signage? Why signage?
I think, well, of course, because I grew up doing it, and I've always been interested in it, but also that it's artistic and functional, and it really makes a difference, especially in a small town like Astoria, if there's good signage. I think that people notice signage, even if it's subconscious, if it's done well and aesthetic, then it just really reflects the town and the businesses in a town.
And I think that it's really cool that you can associate your work with something that everybody thinks of when they think of another business. Mm-hmm. Like Reclamation Marketplace, the first thing I think about is the thing that you guys put on the front of their building. And that is, how do you feel about that? I mean, having your stamp, you know, not necessarily known to the general public, but having your stamp on a building like that.
I mean, most of all, I really just want these businesses to succeed. And it is the first thing you see when you walk into a place. So I think it's more about the client than about me.
Well, as it should be. But I mean, there's got to be some sort of, I don't know what the word is, but there's got to be some sort of good feeling when you see that you can help all those people, right?
Oh, yeah, it feels great. It's, it's always great to see a business succeed. Yeah. And
when you walk by those businesses, does it feel like you now have kind of, your ideas and your creativity have kind of meshed with the direction that business is going in? I think about, when I think of Carruthers, you know, I think of their branding. I think of like the way that that business kind of, projects itself out into the world. And yeah, your creativity is intertwined with that. It's gotta be a cool thing.
It's always hard to walk away from a project, and it's always kind of easy to think of the things you would have done differently and disassociate from it. And I'm always thinking about the next one, I guess.
I know what you mean. You know, like one of the hardest. I'm a jazz musician, so I do a lot of music work, and it's always one of the hardest things that anybody ever puts me through is when you have to listen to a recording of what you just did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you don't want to be associated with that. So is that similar? Is that what you're kind of thinking about?
I want to be associated with it, but I also feel like it. There's maybe it's just like a come down from, finishing up a project, and it's always, it's a lot of work, and a lot of energy is put into it, and I feel like it takes a minute to just be like, okay, that I really feel proud about that, or
there's always that little itch in your brain that says, oh, I should have done that, or there's something else there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you feel like sign painting is something that is making a comeback? I mean, I don't know if a lot of people know that so many of these signs that they see around town are hand painted. It's what state is sign painting at now, in your opinion?
I think that people are so tired of seeing things that are designed on the computer and totally generic that it is making a bit of a comeback. I think that people want to see things that are done by hand.
I wonder if like this draw that people have toward things that are made by hand is almost like a response to just this over digitized world, this like, the more that people are seeing these things that are quickly made and mass produced, and it makes all the handmade stuff seem so much more captivating and so much more interesting,
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that a lot of younger people are becoming more interested in it, and realizing that they can make a career out of it. Mm-hmm. And work for themselves.
I'm glad you brought this up. If there's anybody listening who's an artist and is trying to think of like, how do I turn my art into some sort of viable business idea? Do you have any advice for people that would want to go down a similar road? What are some things that you've learned over the years in working for yourself and making your art work for you, basically?
Oh, wow. I think I'm in such a special situation because I grew up around sign painters. I think just try and find somebody that you could intern with, whether it, if mural painters or sign painters. There's one lettering school, LA Trade Tech, in LA, that still exists.
Kind of running your own business or engaging with clients, is there anything that you've kind of learned over the years about how to make that go more smoothly and just kind of how to navigate that whole world?
I definitely feel like I'm still learning and will always still be learning. I think that just making sure I have a good, like a contract, getting a deposit. I spent many years just doing things on a handshake, and it works most of the time, and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing for me to do. It's probably the hardest thing for me running a business is the money exchange and I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I've felt that before because I do some photography work too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's one of those things that if you're doing it because you enjoy to do it, you don't want to have to ask people for money for it, right, necessarily.
Yeah.
But it's one of those aspects that you have to do it at some point. And that's what makes it so hard.
Well, yeah. And with my wife's business, I feel like we've seen this thing where, you know, she's really interested in the design aspect of it, and she's interested in this collaborative process with the client. The contract thing is a whole other world and a whole other side of the business that those things don't always mesh smoothly, mm-hmm. you know, and especially if it's something that's creative and hard to quantify. And, you know, it just seems like that is inherently a difficult thing to reconcile those two things, you know?
Yeah.
I'm curious, could you tell us a little bit about the letterheads and just some of these groups that you and your family are still involved with?
Yeah. My dad, Noel Weber, is one of the original 7 members of a group called the Letterheads, which is a group of sign painters, which started meeting in the early 70s, and they were all trying to teach each other these traditional sign painting techniques because the sign painters in the older generation were pretty tight-lipped about their techniques and weren't interested in sharing them because they thought they would lose clients. And so my dad's group of friends started just reading old sign painting books and trade journals, and it started experimenting with these really traditional sign painting techniques. And this group started growing, and now it's international, and the world of sign painters is still fairly small, but hundreds of people will go to these meetings every year. And relating back to your question about whether young people are becoming more interested in sign painting, I grew up going to these events, these yearly events, and I was always the youngest person there. It was me.
By like decades?
It felt like decades. So it was me and a few of other kids, children of people, and or children of people that were involved with the Letterheads. And then now when I go, there's a lot of younger people, a lot of people that are in their early 20s. And it's been really cool to see that. So
was it a Letterheads event? I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but you guys had this workshop for sign painters to come to Astoria and spend a couple days or a long weekend or something. Was that a Letterheads event?
No, that was not a Letterheads event. That was a Gold Leaf workshop that my dad taught. And he teaches these workshops every couple years. And
what was that like to be around other people from around the world that are really into Gold Leaf and are really into this niche thing that you are into? I don't know. Was there the sense of community there?
Yeah, definitely. And it's also really cool to see these people that really idolize my dad for being, you know, one of the best living sign painters. Yeah.
Is that surreal? Being around people who are like bowing down before your dad?
I think it's so cool because he's such a modest person, and you know, it's really great to see how much people appreciate him. And he's also just really kind and willing to, you know, share anything that he knows with people and give them his time. And and so that's really neat. I love seeing it.
I had the chance to stop by the workshop. I think it was the last day or the second to last day, and and just see the signs that people were working on. And yeah, there were people from all over the world. There's someone that came from Japan. There's I don't know how many other countries were represented, but it was just really cool to see, Yeah, the gym at the old YMCA as this home base for this international thing. It was really cool. So. So you told us a little bit about the Letterheads. Tell us a little bit about the Wall Dogs, this other group that you guys are involved with.
The Wall Dogs are kind of a spinoff of the Letterheads. It's all mural artists. We all go to a town. There's about 200 to 300 artists that will paint 10 to 20 murals in a small town over a long weekend. We just got back from a Wall Dogs event in Keene, New Hampshire, and there was 250 artists and 16 murals that got painted throughout the town, usually representing history about the town.
Are these murals donated?
It's all volunteer
paint, yeah, and everything. Yeah, like you guys, yeah, bring the paint and
well, the paint's usually donated by a company. Mm-hmm. A paint company. Okay. In town.
That's awesome. I didn't know that, like, it happens in a single weekend. So, yeah, like, literally in one weekend, the town is changed. Like, yeah, 16 years.
Totally. They're literally transformed. Going out and painting the town, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
So all the artists are responsible for travel expenses and lodging. And usually the town does fundraising for meals and just other various supplies that we need. And I think that there's usually, however many murals, there's a team leader for those, and they get a small stipend. Mm. It's really cool. I spent my childhood also going to these events, and I feel like you learn a lot from working next to people that are, you know, that's their, also their profession. And it's really fun to just be up on the scaffolding, sitting next to people that are, you know, you're just looking at the wall painting, but you know, you can work and paint and talk. And I really love being able to be doing something while I'm socializing. Mm-hmm. And it's really great able to spend time with these people from all over the world that have a similar interest. Mm-hmm. And be working on you know, a giant mural. I think our mural was 20 feet by 50 feet. And we all just kind of choose a spot to work on and get it done.
I like that, you know, the same idea to me seems like it underpins the Letterheads and the Wall Dogs, this idea of like things are better when people collaborate. And I think that's, I don't know, it's just a refreshing concept to hear about and to think about in this world where everyone's so competitive and everything is so cutthroat, you know, to hear that, hey, when you collaborate, it actually works out better for everybody. I think that's a cool idea. So this next question I want to ask you about is one that I'm personally invested in. So my wife and I, 11 weeks ago, had our daughter, Simone, and I'm really curious how you've been juggling being a mom. You're the mother to Bernadette, she's 4. Being a mom and also being a small business owner, how do you navigate that and reconcile those two worlds?
I feel like it's always changing. Yeah. When she was really small, I really depended on her nap times. Yeah. And being able to work while she was asleep. And I would bring her to jobs sometimes and she would nap while I worked. Now I feel like she's old enough where I can set her up with a project and be working on something. And I definitely work a lot slower than I did. And
more interruptions.
But I really love having her around, and I love that she gets to see what I do and is, you know, learning about it in much the same way I did growing up. And like the Wall Dogs event, I was going to these events when I was a little kid, and the people that are friends with my family that are there are people that have known me since I was as young as her, and now I get to bring her to these events, and they're all like surrogate grandparents. Yeah. And it's really special to be able to do that.
So do you feel like, you know, just seeing how much community is around these two groups, there's just no question in your mind that, you know, she will kind of be pulled into this organically? It's not ever going to be something where you're going to say, Bernadette, you need to come and we're, I want to show you this. You got to help me with this. You got to, it'll just be this. She'll be pulled toward it.
I'm not sure. I think that there's a real need for kids to, you know, be shown that, you can make a living, with your hands. And, I definitely want to show her that. I'm not going to force her to become a sign painter.
Yeah.
I don't know what she'll be interested in, but, as long as she shows an interest, then I feel like I'll, you know, I'd love her help.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything that listeners can kind of keep their eyes peeled for in the coming weeks or months, projects that you're working on? Again, Anna is the founder of Astoria Design Studio. Anything that you can kind of publicly talk about at the moment?
The Nourish Juice Bar that's recently changed hands, and they're changing their name to Pink Elephant Juice Emporium, and okay. We're going to be doing some signage for them.
Cool.
And let's see what else. Besides that, mostly some gilded transom numbers on residential houses, and I'm sure there's other projects that I'm cool. forgetting about at the moment. But.
Cool. Well, thank you again for coming in and talking with us. Anna Weber, thanks
thank
so much.
You. Yeah, thanks.
For those of you who have not heard our show before, this is the segment where I offer my student perspective on the guests that we had in our studio today. So when Mr. Morgan and I are looking for guests on this show, we usually try to find people who we know have an interesting aspect of their life that we can take and present to our listeners in order to make them think about their lives in a different way. And Anna was a perfect choice because she had so many different ways that we could spin her story. First of all, Anna is a mother, and it's not often that we get to hear about small business owners' methods with which they try to tackle being a small business owner while at the same time caring for kids. Childcare is no easy feat, especially in Clatsop County. A lot of people don't have that opportunity to go send their kids to a daycare and work for 8 hours a day. So it's very important that Anna gets to share her story in helping to care for her child while at the same time caring for a business. Second of all, Anna's business is generational. Her father actually started working in signage when she was a young child, similar to the way that Anna is imparting her skills in art in the signage field to her daughter Bernadette. So it's interesting to hear about how businesses maintain their presence over multiple generations. And it was really cool to see that Anna was looking out for what her child would find more interesting, and she wasn't worried about passing on a family business. And also, Anna's industry is extremely unique. When we walk downtown in Astoria, we don't really think about the signs that we're seeing as we walk down the street. But really, for small businesses, one of the most challenging aspects of starting a business is getting that sign above your door that says, I am here and this is what I do. So it was really interesting to hear the relationship Anna had with her clients and how the clients interact with her. And the final thing that I found very interesting was the way in which the industry shared information with itself. That only creates a stronger industry and a better product for all of the consumers out there.